I'm not a visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
It's the Boop Show, episode 148 for September 17th, 2017, with Scott Johnson and Brian Dunaway. Brian Dunaway and Scott Johnson sitting here together like two pigs in a blanket. What's going on there, Brian?
Two pigs in a blanket. Hey, don't get me wrong. I like pigs in a blanket.
Yeah.
But two pigs in a blanket, makes me feel a little uncomfortable.
It's too much, yeah.
That's too much.
When's the last time you had a pig in a blanket?
Right before the show. It was delicious.
I haven't had one in years. I don't even remember exactly where or why.
Oh, my gosh. For those who don't know what a pig in the blanket is, you're missing out on life. Now, when I think of pig in the blanket, now, are you talking about large size pig in a blanket where you take a croissant or even worse, one of those frozen biscuits and roll up a full-size weenie? Or are you talking one of those miniature
it's usually a little miniature one that I would have. Like, I don't think I've ever had a full-size rolled up one that I know of.
Yeah,
but yeah, the pre-baked dough crap you get at the store in the tube, that is a nightmare. Oh, that's like chalky. It's chalky punishment is what that is.
I like it. I tell you, some of my favorite pigs in the blankets though is taking like the chicken weenie, which is not even a weenie, if you ask me, but like the chicken weenie, and rolling it up in the croissant.
Yeah, you take the penis from a chicken, roll it in the croissant.
Right.
Got it.
Right. You roll in the croissant, and then you throw that in some, then you dip that in some ketchup and mustard, and pretend like it's something it's not.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. It's a weird. I don't know what the origins are, but it's a strange thing. I like my hot dog type meats. In buns, squarely in a bun. I want mustard on that thing. I want sauerkraut if you got it. Like, that's my idea. That's a pig in a blanket he could get out of, you know?
I like the double pig, the two pigs in a blanket, because I'm going to put two weenies in my next pig in the blanket. It's going to be awesome.
Do it. It'll be a little double shotgun shooter.
Oh, God, I want to take a nap now.
Yeah, everyone's tired. All right, so, hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. So it's been a busy week for me on all sorts of fronts, but I did manage to play a whole lot of... WoW's got its fingers all dug up in my skin again. You know how this happens. We've talked about it before. I don't want to repeat myself from last week, but, man, sometimes you just like, oh, okay, I found the fish hook part of the current content, and then I haven't been able to let go of the fish hook. Like, it just is pulling me through. So I guess props to those guys, because there are times when you're playing WoW and you've played it for a long time that you sort of enter the world and go, what do I feel like doing? And the answer is none of this. Like, I just don't like all of it. It's just too many choices, too many things to do. You're just like, I'm gonna go do something else. Right now, the thing they want me to do, they've pulled me in, and now I'm getting pulled all the way through, and I'm having a blast. It's really good.
You want to play you want to play Peggle while you're waiting for your Minecraft.
Yeah.
That's how it is sometimes.
Yeah.
Wasn't there something like that at one point in time where you could, like, they had like add-in mods where you could play like Peggle and stuff inside World of Warcraft?
I don't know if that's still a thing. I know the mods are still there, obviously, but I don't know if those games still exist. But they had Peggle and Bejeweled.
Yes.
Were built into the interface. So you basically had a game running on the mod interface so that when you were flying like a big flight path or something,
you
could pull that up and play a quick game of Peggle or whatever before you got there. And I don't know what happened to that. I maybe it's still there and no one cares now, but that was a weird thing, wasn't it?
Yeah. Our game has gotten so monotonous that we gave you another game to play in the middle of it.
Yeah. And I don't remember. Maybe those got pulled because they were technically not. You know, Blizzard didn't want to get in the world of other people's intellectual property being played on top of their game.
Like, well, yeah, I did. I always thought it was weird anyway. I'm like, that's odd.
Yeah, and it wasn't something they were making. Some, you know, it was made by some fan or whatever, but I don't remember what happened.
Now, what if Blizzard did it proper and just stuck some Hearthstone right in there while you're flying?
Holy shite, that'd be great. Like a little mini, like, AI match thing. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. They'll never do
it. Get on it.
They'll never do it.
No, of course not.
It's an entire game and a whole other engine that they would have to do. Like, seems like work they don't want to do.
Right.
But I like your thinking. I like where
you're headed. Yeah, just play it in winded mode like I do.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
So anyway, a lot of that and a lot of Overwatch. Somebody had told me that, hey, Scott, you really need to check out the deathmatch mode in Overwatch because they it's like the first mode in the game that feels like a new mode, like a proper mode. And I'm like, I know, but look, it's a team-based shooter with objectives primarily. That's its primary focus, this game. And that's what it's best at. And the characters are designed to be support and utility and tank and, you know, these different classes of characters. So they're best suited for a goal. Right. And the goal is not just Quake-style kill a dude. And so I was skeptical of that. And I got in there and played that. And holy shite, that's really fun. And every character is viable. That's the part that threw me off. I saw Mercies get into this game just where it's like free-for-all deathmatch, not team. There's both. You can play either one. But it's just, you know, and Mercy dominated. And she shouldn't dominate. She's a freaking wimpy healer with a healing beam and a crap pistol. And she was beating everybody and ended up with top score and won the whole game. Like, it's possible to play every character in that game well in that environment, and that surprised me. The maps are really smartly redesigned for this use. They've taken existing maps and converted them to be deathmatch maps, and they're just the right size. They feel like they have the right corners, the right health packs in different places. It feels like my old Quake days. Like, it's really weird how this is feeling to me. I did really well with Roadhog. For whatever reason, he ended up being my kind of dominant guy, but I'm pretty good with him anyway. But anyway, I played a ton of that, and I just have to say, tip of the hat to Blizzard for coming up with a way to make that work. It just totally works. Yeah. And the team mode's good too. Team deathmatch also really strong. It's just a nice new way to play Overwatch if you need a break from all the, you know, the payload pushing and the point capturing.
Right. You know, it's kind of outside the scope of this podcast, but man, I would like to, you know, have a little sit down with some of those developers over there and figure out exactly what they do to make things so well balanced. What's the magic?
Well, those guys, they could write the book on balance. Like,
yeah,
you'll remember this, but back in 98 when StarCraft came out, the original StarCraft, the thing that blew everybody's mind is you had these three completely distinct factions, Zerg, Protoss, and Terran, and they were all totally unique.
Yes.
But somehow balanced. Like, you could argue during certain patch areas or something, you're like, oh, well, right now the Protoss are dominant because someone figured out a way to do this. Or right now the Zerg can overwhelm you, and so they need to do a patch. So sure, they patch things and tweak things, but they know balance like no other company I know. Like,
true story.
They really should write the book and...
They really should, and put it out there for the other companies to compete with them.
Yeah,
so.
That would be really beneficial for them to create inroads for their competition, I'm sure.
Right.
Anyway, it's real good, and people should be playing that mode. It's good. It's the only problem I have with it is it's kind of behind a wall a little bit. You know, when you go into the game, the first thing is quick play, competitive, and then there's arcade. And arcade, while I really like everything that's in there, in your mind it's like, oh, arcade, well, that's just dumb stuff. Like, that's just throwaway, goofy.
That's easy. Yeah, that's just...
just not real. Not the real game. Yeah, not the real game I want to play or whatever. And that's and I think it's unfortunate that mode is wedged in there, because I don't think it belongs there. I think it belongs up front and center. Now, that being said, I had no problem getting games. There were tons of people playing Deathmatch, so it was always going. But, yeah, anyway, it's really neat. People should play it. It's good. It'll bring back a lot of nostalgia if you're an old school shooter player, multiplayer player, and you like that kind of thing. It's just a nice. And you get XP and all that, so it's not like you're, you know, not progressing. You still get your loot boxes and your stuff, and you have MVPs of the match and all that.
I got to get my loot boxes.
Yeah, get them loot boxes, son.
Because I need that spray badge.
Get that spray badge. And then I played a bunch of stuff on my iPad Pro. I don't have to say much about them except Darkest Dungeon on there is a really good version of that game, and I've been playing that. And I also picked up last night, just started playing it, so I don't have a ton to say about it yet, but it's called Iron Soldiers? Shoot. Now I don't remember the name. I got to look it up. It's right here on their recommended list. Here it is. Oh, Iron Marines. That's what it's called. So speaking of StarCraft, it's basically like an homage to StarCraft. But it's this kind of cartoony-ish RTS, and it's easily, hands down, even in my first 30 minutes of play, the best RTS on a tablet. I've never played anything quite like it. It's like they know, all right, well, here's the platform we're on, so let's not try to force a PC game into this.
Right.
Let's take advantage of what this is, and then let's make a game around that. And it's very impressive. It's from those Field Runners. Something Runners. Ah, they make very popular...
Wait, I'm on it, because I was just looking up to see if they had it on the Android, and they don't.
Oh, it's coming, though, is what I heard. It's on iOS to start with. The only real complaint I have right now is it is a paid game, so I paid $4.99 for it, so $5.
What? You spent money on an app?
I like doing that. I like paid games. Paid games are good. Here's the problem, though. It's still loaded with, like, free-to-play crap.
Oh, that makes me mad.
Yeah. So this is my only complaint. The gameplay, though, is outshining that, so I'm going to give them a break on this one, but normally it drives me crazy. No, Iron Marines is on Google Play right now.
Oh, wait. Oh.
Oh, and it's okay. Kingdom Rush is the series I was thinking of. So they made the very popular Kingdom Rush games. This is their next game. It's very reminiscent of StarCraft, and they're not even really hiding that. Like, it feels like a loving nod in that direction. And there have been other RTS attempts on tablets and phones before, but this is something different. This is beyond that. I am annoyed that they want to keep nickel and diming me.
Ironhide.
After I pay the $5, but nonetheless, it's pretty impressive. And they've taken a card a little bit out of Warcraft 3, where you had the hero, you know, you run around with the hero and do stuff. They kind of have that in there. So there's a little twist. Anyway, it's neat. Very impressive. It's worth playing. And outside of their weird back-end payment model, I think it's kind of awesome, actually. So, SteamWorld Dig. We talked about it last week because 2's on its way, right? That's coming.
Right. 2 is on its way.
So you played 1 just to kind of get your noodle wet, as the kids say. What did you...
Oh, God, I hope the kids don't say that.
What'd you think?
Oh, dear Lord.
What do you think of that? Because I thought that first game was really great, but I haven't played it in a while, so I don't remember if it was...
Well, I saw that 2 is coming out on September the 22nd, which is, what, like next week? So it's real soon, and it looks real pretty, and I never got a chance to play the first one. I've seen the heist on PS4, and I've looked at it a couple of times, never could do it. And then Origin, EA... offered their On Us games, which I do once a month or so, and it was for free.
Oh, well, that's,
so
that's,
if you don't mind loading up that Origin client once in a while.
Yeah, it's okay. It's fine, that client.
It's not intrusive. It's just mostly a download agent.
Yeah.
And it didn't bother me too bad, so I picked it up for free. Oh. And it's a digging game, and you know how I love the dig games.
Dig games are good.
Is described as a Metroidvania kind of game. I can kind of see that with the name.
Sort of.
Yeah, it's mostly mining. It's always about upgrading your pickaxe so you can go faster. And what is it about these pacing games that are so addictive?
I don't know.
For whatever reason.
I love them because they have a clear line of progression, and progression is everything. So you just feel like, all right, well, I need the better pick. Okay, now I can get gold. Okay, now I can get silver or diamonds. Mm-hmm. Oh, cool. Now it only takes me a second to get those because I got the even better pickaxe, and I can go deeper, and I have better torches, which means I can go deeper. Uh-oh, there's weird creatures down here. Oh, shit. You know, like, it's got many layers, but it's just like any of these games. Like, it's all about upgrade, loot, loot, loot.
Yep. Upgrade, loot, loot. And I almost quit. I almost stopped, Scott. Mm. I almost said, nah, not for me, because the story is a little verbose in the beginning.
Lots of talking.
Talking about your uncle and how he got killed, but he's passing on his pickaxe to you, and he built this little small steam robot town. And I was almost about to quit because I was getting kind of sick of smashing grubs and doing that kind of stuff. But then they started giving me these upgrades.
Yeah, that's good.
And I'm like, oh, so I can run faster now. Yeah. Okay, so now I got to overcome this row of dropping bricks by running faster. And then I found out I could make use of my steam by getting this steam jump.
Yeah.
And which really is important to getting back up top, because nothing's more annoying than trying to get back up top after you dug, you know, like 12, 13 levels deep. And you have to get back up to the mining area or the camp area so that you can do more upgrades. So it's starting to get to me. However, I'm playing this on my PC yeah. with a controller.
Yeah.
And I gotta say, I think I would enjoy this much more on my couch with
oh.
a console.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, that's yeah. yeah. I feel that way a lot actually with Win. But well, you know, you get a Steam. What are those called? Steam Link. You could do that.
Steam Link. I have a Steam Link, and I gotta tell you, unless you have.
Unless it's wired, it sucks. Is that what you're going to tell
wired,
me?
Unless it's wired, it sucks. Yeah, exactly.
Totally agree. I have fine internet, great network, plenty of speed on Wi-Fi, and it still blows on Wi-Fi.
I'm curious about the new Wi-Fi that's coming out, that's really the new standards and stuff. I'm interested to see if they can manage this better. Because some of my games are okay. I do it through Wi-Fi. It's not recommended. But some of my games that aren't, you know, twitchy, probably something like this. Yeah. Wouldn't be too bad.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. But, you know, I don't know what it is about Dig games, but there's always one mechanic in the Dig games, all the way back from Dig Dug and any Dig game I've ever played, that I always space on.
What?
It's the don't get under the rock.
Oh, yeah.
That you dig and it falls on your head.
Yeah,
I know. I
yeah,
don't
totally.
Know why I'd never figure it out.
Yeah. What's that one? There's an old one called Gem something, but it's yeah. I know what you're talking about. You get underneath and oh shit, I'm dead. Great.
Yeah, I'm dead. I don't know why. I mean, because lots of times you can stand freely where you're standing and dig the rock in front of you, and it'll fall right in front of you. And you're safe. But for some reason, I never put it together, and I just dig and I walk right underneath it. And it
yeah.
goes,
yeah. Start over. Go to the top.
Dead. You're dead.
What's interesting is, for those who don't know this, and it may not matter to some, but the Steam World games are, I mean, that's like their world, like their fiction, and there are multiple games within that fiction. Steam World Heist is a completely different game, entirely different focus, different genre, different everything, except for the fact that it's set in the same Steam World universe. So
right.
you're in space. It's basically like a space Western.
Man,
it's real good. So if you ever get around to Heist, one of
the best games ever.
You
know,
really
it. I like SteamWorld Dig as far as the game itself goes, but either really buy into your story and ramp it up, and give me some cinematics, or drop it. I don't care about clicking and reading your not so clever remarks.
Yeah, it's
just like the next point.
Yeah, kind of with a game like. Yeah, I can't disagree with that. It's a little verbose.
Yeah, a little verbose. I mean, like, if you're going to do it, like, buy into it. Go ahead and give me some cut scenes and everything else and just buy into it. But I don't want to read anything. I want to get back to digging.
Yeah, I have plenty of real friends who can sit next to me and spout all kinds of dumb things that I don't want to hear right now. Why make the video game do it? It's a good point.
Don't do it.
Also, don't forget, if you're a PlayStation owner, you can get that infamous Second Son for free this month, and I guess you did, yeah.
That's what I did. Grabbed it, and I was like, let me download this for 2 days. And so I did. And so I got on after 2 days of download and played for 5 minutes. And it's not because I didn't like the game that I only played for 5 minutes. That's just all the time I had left.
Yeah.
And did you play the first one?
I did. I played it and beat it.
Yeah, I really dig the first one, and this one is a little bit more the same, different scenario, different scene.
Oh, you mean first game in the series? Yeah, I played right. 1, 2, and the one you're talking. I beat the one you're talking about today, the new one, newish.
Oh, you
one.
Beat this one?
Yeah, it was like a launch title or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And you know,
it's all right. You're on the back end. You're a little. You let things savor and like age like fine wine, and then you play it.
That's right. Hey, man, there's so many games. There's no sense of being the first. Me first, whatever. Brian's me last.
Me comfortably when I want. That's who you are.
Right. That's who I am. Yeah. And so, yeah, I played it, but I didn't really jive with the characters, because they're supposed to be kind of this, you know, disenfranchised youth.
Yeah. Edgy, street tough, whatever. It's sometimes they get that stuff right in games, and most of the time they don't. Like sometimes that stuff feels stereotyped and contrived and not real, but I would argue this game is not great at that part of it, but their vision of slightly future Seattle and the gameplay therein is pretty strong. It's really good in there, and it's a pretty game too. Really good looking game.
It really is. It got some really good mocap stuff going on. The characters, the costuming and the environment is really nice, and some of the game mechanics are a little bit strange for me, because this was like I didn't like how they were giving me the information on how to use my powers with the controller because they just didn't seem, it seemed kind of weak at that point. But maybe it's me. Maybe I'm the weak link.
Well, you never know. The Troy Baker, who plays the main protagonist there,
right.
My problem with this game is that the face of the kid looks just like Troy Baker's real face, and it throws me off the entire time. Because it's just like Troy Baker running around.
Right, right. Yeah, which weird. Is smart, because if you're going to do motion, if you're going to do facial capture, you might as well make it, you know, the best possible,
I guess
possible,
so.
Right?
No, you're not wrong. It's just, it makes me feel funny. For lack of a better way of saying it. There's something odd about it.
Right. But okay, anyway. So I like to talk about what I'm playing next week as well. And next week, I grabbed the Humble Bundle this recently, and also they have a lot of sales on the Humble Bundle, into Summer Sale. And I picked up a game that I've been wanting to pick up for a while because some of my friends, they're really into cars and that kind of stuff, and the games that I don't usually play.
Yeah.
And there's a game called Spin Tires. And essentially all it is driving these trucks and Jeeps out in this deep wooded area in mud and crap and just trying to get from point A to point B. And I've seen some of my friends play the crap out of this, and I'm interested in Spin Tires. I'm going to try it out. Picked up for a pretty good deal. And also, I watched you play Duck Game recently.
Oh, Duck Game's so good.
Yeah, and I had forgotten I'd gotten into it, and I never really played too far, and I want to get back into that as well.
Oh, it's so good, dude. Listen, Duck Game, and they just did a huge patch on that thing. I've been playing it. I've had it for like a year or something, but
right.
They patched it and put in a progression system. So you level up, you get unlocks and perks. There's a whole campaign now. Like, they went nuts with that thing, and it's stupid fun. Oh, my gosh.
Right.
Duck Game is great. For those who don't know, it's like a primarily, its best use is a four-player free-for-all.
Yeah.
Where you kind of tower fall style, jumping around, using weapons, shooting each other, trying to be the last one to survive. It's just chaos banana time. It's awesome.
Chaos banana time. Look out, here comes the banana times.
Yep. Chaos banana time coming this fall.
Hey, you know what I didn't pick up on the Humble Bundle? What? They had it. They had like the different levels and stuff, and I went for the 687 level, which gave me Renegade Ops, Sonic Generations, Resident Evil 4, Dead Rising, and those kind of games. But then there was one more level for $12, almost twice as much. Hmm. Gave you Devil May Cry, but I already had that one, Devil May Cry 4.
Yeah.
And the only thing that was really interesting was Motorsport Manager. Are you into any of these manager games?
No, I don't like those. They're boring to me. I want to get in the car and drive. I don't want to manage it. I don't want to manage a football. Like, I don't want to be a football manager. I don't want to be any of that. I just want to play. I want to play the game. And so those are not for me. Although I know a lot of people love that stuff. They're totally into it. They're the same people that get really into fantasy football and things like that every year.
Yeah, just stats, baby.
Not my bag of cheese. The game, the collection on here that I would play would be Renegade Ops. If you've never played that, that is
that's so much fun. That's a four-player game.
Kicking the freaking pants, Renegade Ops is. It's real fun. Yeah. It's old-ish. Came out on 360, PS3, and PC back in the day, but I think I still own it.
I still own it, too. I bought the four-pack back in the day and gave it out to all my friends because it was super cheap at the time. Hey, do you know I'm a cheap gamer?
Yeah, you're a cheap gamer. Yeah, cheap gamer. Yeah.
Right. So if you're out there and you're listening, send us an email and tell us why we should play one of these manager games, because I hate them so much.
Yeah.
I'm almost convinced I must be missing something.
Yeah. Can you guys talk us into it? Because if you can, we'll listen. All right. Running down today's news. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds broke Steam's record for most users ever. The all-time record. It was already breaking concurrent records and other things. But this little indie that could. It's hard to call it an indie now. This thing's worth millions.
It's a beast.
Maybe billions at some point. 1 week after surpassing 1 million concurrent users on Steam, PUBG has now set the all-time record for the concurrent players record. The game, which again is in early access, peaked at 1,348,374 concurrent users today. That displaced Valve's Dota 2 for the top figure of all time. The old record was just above 1.2 million. That's huge. And I played some PUBG this week. I forgot to mention that. And I'd like to just remind the world that I'm not very good. It's really fun, but there are people out there that are so good at this game that they're just popping me. Like, There's right. There's no question about it. One thing I did, I learned the other day. I don't know why that went up so loud. Something's wrong with my soundboard. I did figure out the other day that when I'm, if I jump right in, this is a common thread with a lot of players, but if you just jump in and go right to a populated area and just fight like mad, that's, I think, a funner way to play the game. Because even though you have a higher chance of dying right away, you're building some of those fighting skills that that particular engine needs you to build up. And if you die, you just get into another game, like, immediately. Like, there's no waiting. Yeah. It's you're back into 100 people. You're off to fight again. So this idea of going and finding a remote place where nobody else is and camping in there and getting all the gear and then slowly hiding your way around, it can work for a while, but I don't know that that wins games. I think what wins games is just skill on the battlefield, not being afraid, taking risky shots, dying a lot, learning, going back, doing it again. But good for them. You know, they got their cheese in the wheel, which isn't a phrase.
Yeah, cheese in the wheel. You know, I want to play this game, but I do know that everybody's gotten so good at it that I'm going to do the same thing that you're saying. But hey, what's the penalty for dying? You're going to jump right back into the game.
Yeah, get right back.
What?
Get a gun, go. Yeah.
Did you know that I have hangups about names?
No.
Yeah, true. Steam. I didn't like it when it first came out. I'm like, that's a stupid name. Steam. That's stupid. Mm. Same with PUBG. I don't like people saying PUBG. It annoys me.
Do you like them saying the full name PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds? Do you prefer that?
Battlegrounds is usually how I usually prefer to, except most people usually know what I'm talking about. However, yeah, PUBG, I don't know why it bothers me. Why am I so hung up on that? What is wrong
fine.
With me?
Look, hey, you're Joe Public. You're supposed to react to marketing things, and that's a marketing thing. So I don't think you're weird to feel that way. I understand. I'm that way with a lot of stuff. In fact, I can't stand that they named this after the guy who made it. I can't stand that.
Right.
And that his name is Player Unknowns. Like, it's just, yeah. I feel, if you don't know the story behind that guy, that name means nothing. So when you read it, you're like, what does that even mean? Player Unknowns Battlegrounds. Like, it sounds like Carl's Jr.'s, you know? Like, it's weird.
I'm not eating there.
It's weird. So I wish it was just called Battlegrounds or a better name altogether.
Right.
Because Battlegrounds is, like, everywhere. World of Warcraft has Battlegrounds in it. So
yeah.
It's a little annoying how common that is, but you know, whatever. Now it's established itself, it's never going to change. It'll be
PUBG. Apparently it's not hurting it, because look at it.
Yeah, it'll be PUBG or PUBG forever. It's never going to change.
I would actually prefer PUBG.
PUBG. Speaking of things I'm into, Overwatch. Hey. Overwatch's Ana and Junkrat are now coming to Heroes of the Storm. They're the next two new characters.
Get out!
Yeah, brand new map too. Volskaya Industries, or it's called Volskaya. It's not Industries. Well, it's a take on that Overwatch map.
Foundry.
There you go. Volskaya Foundry. That map looks crazy. Like, there are plenty of Heroes of the Storm maps where you have a mechanic that unlocks, like, a big beast that walks down the lane and does a bunch of damage, and they do that in phases or whatever.
Yeah,
there's even ones awesome. Where players can get inside the Dragon Knight or the big plant creature. But this is weird, because when you accomplish the goal, two of you can get into this thing, and basically you can choke all your way down the lane, and one of you mans guns and lasers and bullets and stuff, and the other
his
one...
His Junkrat got his head out the window.
Probably.
That'd
I mean,
be awesome.
Who knows? But anyway, they're coming. We don't know anything about the characters. We assume Ana will be a support class, and we assume probably specialist. I can't imagine anything else for Junkrat, but we don't know anything about their abilities yet. Probably this week we'll get a video on one or both of them that will describe what they do, what their kits are, what their ultimates are, and all that stuff. So it's very exciting. If you're into Heroes of the Storm, they've done a great job with the Overwatch heroes that they brought over. They're still the minority of characters in that game, but always
so
a little bit exciting.
Characters.
Oh, there's tons, yeah. I've been playing Stukov like a wild man. I freaking love that guy. He's so good. He's from StarCraft. He's a Russian dude who's
I know him.
Half
he's my
Zergy.
Favorite.
Yeah, he's great, and he's my probably my favorite dude in the game right now. He's so good. Mm. Anyway, I love that game. If you would like more in-depth conversation about Ana, Junkrat, all the skins, all the stuff coming.
Well, that game is free except for the cool parts.
Well, you get, so yes and no. The way it works now since 2.0 is that you can basically unlock anything. So if you're just playing to play, no matter what you're playing, who you're playing, a loot box could drop with a legendary and bam, you suddenly own a hero you never had, or suddenly you own their best skin in the game or whatever. So if you're playing a decent amount, you're earning all kinds of currency and gold and stuff just from playing. And it feels pretty good. I believe this is free to play done right.
Yeah.
In this particular case. And even more so now, because 2.0 really fixed a lot of problems they had with the first run of the game. Anyway, it's really good. And one of the coolest things is Destroyer Diva, which is this Diva skin that looks like what's his name from World of Warcraft, the third expansion. Who's the dragon?
Oh, he's the dick. He's a big dick. Oh, it's such a.
Oh, he's a dick. Yeah, he's a huge dick. My brain won't work. Cataclysm dragon. Deathwing.
This is so much fun.
Deathwing. That's it. Deathwing. So she's looks like a little Deathwing mech with Deathwing stuff all over it, which is pretty neat. Anyway, it looks really good. It hits the PTR sometime probably next week, and we'll be able to all...
I only play the PTR.
Yeah, you're a PTR man.
Yeah.
Yeah. You should play the real game. It's fan-frickin-tastic.
And PTR guy. What can I say?
Real good. Brian, have you spent a dime on Star Citizen?
I have taken all my dimes and kept them and said, Star Citizen, screw you.
Well, you're not alone. Their production delays, which are now infamous for this weird game that was publicly funded on Kickstarter and then later on their own program and somewhere in the 100-some-odd million-dollar range.
So, everybody was so excited about this.
Well, people still are, and you know, there's some people buying ships for $1,000, like crazy ways of investing in this game. And the delays are—it's starting to get dirty, starting to get ugly. The campaign to undermine the credibility of the team building Star Citizen is getting very nasty. Yesterday, there was an elaborate hoax that was staged involving a staggering $45,000 in virtual goods. At least one major tech site took the bait, and the team at Cloud Imperium Games spent the entire day trying to change the narrative online. The incident cast a spotlight on a dedicated group of trolls who spent much of their personal energy trying to smear lead designer Chris Roberts and his team at CIG. So it's kind of a complicated story, but I'll give you the gist, okay? It began when an anonymous Redditor... Aren't they all happening on Reddit now? It's all happening on Reddit, it feels like.
Yeah. Reddit is becoming a real shit show over there at Reddit, in my opinion.
And I don't know. It's like 4chan Senior.
Yeah.
Anyway, by the name of Mogmentum, said that they spent the better part of 5 weeks working to get a $45,000 refund on virtual items purchased for Star Citizen. Various images and even a video were posted online as proof of the successful return. We tried to reach out for comments, says Polygon.com, but they never responded and have since deleted their accounts. So they came in there to do that and then they left.
Delete.
A rep from CIG told selfsame Polygon yesterday afternoon that the video was an elaborate fake. They admitted that they have been associated... had been an associated return, but in the amount of $330. Ars Technica was forced to issue a correction, which is still flowing down to smaller sites that picked up the story. So anyway, basically a big fat hoax, the goal of which was to troll Star Citizen and Chris Roberts.
Seems like they need any more distractions.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. They really are taking too long. They seem like they've spent more of their effort getting your money than making a thing. Now, I played that weird free beta alpha weekend thing they did not long ago.
Right.
And that is, the scope of that thing is enormous. Like, what they're planning with Star Citizen is crazy. However, it was janky as shit.
Yeah.
Like, my ship got stuck into the side of a landing pad and started twitching there for the next 20 minutes. I got out of it, and I have video of this, of the ship like stuck into this piece of metal and just twitching. It's broken. Like, that wasn't great.
You know, this is a newish problem. Yeah. And the problem is we're not dealing with a developer who has a specific publisher pushing to make things happen regardless of what the content creators want to do. And that keeps them a little bit honest. When you're talking about crowdfunded stuff, the citizens, the crowdfunders, are the ones who have the money.
Yeah.
And so used to be we were just consumers, and now we're producers as well. And how do we get this company, this content creator, artist,
yeah,
to be responsible? Yeah. How do you do that?
Yeah. No, for
so
real.
It's a new question, because I don't think we've had this issue in the past. So.
Yeah. No, it's horrendous.
Pulling some kind of shame game that was done is the right answer.
Oh, no, it never is. It's like, right. It's like a form of, I don't know. What's it like in the real world? I can't think of what it's just, you know, it's like fraud.
It's a dick move. Yeah, it's a dick move.
It's dickish, very dickish.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they need to hurry up and get their game made.
They need to get their game out. And, you know, I'm sure they look around and see other very successful companies like Blizzard who can kind of take their time and do what they want, but they're not Blizzard. No. You better get something out there. You better have better phases of release.
Right. The reason people were interested in this in the first place, Chris Roberts is a legend in the industry, Wing Commander and everything else he's ever done, Freelancer. Those are amazing, incredible experiences that left a mark on not only the industry, but in some ways created new genres, and he deserves all the credit he gets for that. So that's why everyone's put their faith in you and sent you all the money in the first place. Now you just got to deliver on that deal. Like, this is a brave new world of crowdfunding, and you can't F this up.
Yeah. You know, creative minds are not always the best business minds. And, I don't know what you're going to do. I don't know how you resolve this.
Yeah. Got a lot of money though. So
yeah, a lot of money, but people are getting refunds and they're still giving them out. I don't know how long they can do it. But then that made me think of something else as well. Yeah. How many years has it been since they started?
Two, three, four, 5 years.
Something 5 years. Yeah. I mean, I don't know all the specifics, but I do know that a 3 to 5 year zero interest loan can get you a long way, even if you have to refund that money at the end. You know, it's kind of dirty dealing.
Yeah, but if you put that in the bank and let some interest accrue, you could probably take care of these troll level ones.
Yeah.
And that's a little skanky. Ugh, I don't like any of this.
Yeah, I don't like it. Is it, we need to figure it out. Is this is a modern day problem that we're going to have a new solution for?
That's right. Get your shit together. All right. This, I don't know if you've been following this YouTube deal.
I have.
YouTube accepted Campo Santo's copyright strike against PewDiePie. You get three strikes is how this works. It could lead to bigger issues. But anyway, YouTube has accepted this thing. So Campo Santo, the guys that do
Firewatch,
thank you. They were really pissed because PewDiePie dropped the N-word on a stream and has since apologized. PewDiePie. And but this is like the third thing in like less than 6 months that is.
He's had a rough run.
It's been a real, yeah. I mean, I have a feeling when you see a pattern like this, there's a reason. It's not because of just simple mistakes. It's probably because he's young and he says stupid shit and he doesn't really care.
That's the problem. He's crossed over to a point that he's like, I don't have to listen to nobody. And he's going to have to reel it in because he's damaging his own brand. And does he even care? I don't know.
I don't know. Well, he seems to care now because a strike actually means, I'm sorry, it's not three strikes. If he gets one more strike, his channel's shut down. He's out.
Yeah.
So it's basically a warning is what you get with this first one. Anything beyond this, any other infractions and you're out of there.
I thought it was three strikes, so I guess maybe he's on his third strike. I'm sure he's probably gotten more than one strike.
If I get more than three, you're right. It's if he gets three, so it is three.
Yeah,
account gets terminated. All videos uploaded to his account will be removed, and he'll be unable to create future accounts. Essentially, every video he's ever uploaded to YouTube will be erased. Is how this works. It's opened a lot of questions and created a bit of a slippery slope for what does Let's Plays mean, who owns the content, what, you know, should these guys be able to play these games which are not theirs and make, in PewDiePie's case, millions of dollars of revenue given his popularity on the backs of video game makers. But then again, the video game makers know that these influencers sell copies. Like, literally, people watch this and then go buy the games.
Yeah.
So it's this weird, tenuous relationship, and it's gotta, at some point, this has to come to a head, and someone's gonna have to sort of figure out an answer. Because right now,
I think Minecraft would have faltered by now if it wasn't for the YouTube generation.
Oh, guaranteed.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. And I'm convinced that popular streamers and YouTubers made PUBG skyrocket.
Right.
Like, you can't deny that. Like, there's absolutely no way that the influence isn't there. For sure it is. The bigger question is, did they ever have permission? No. Could these companies all suddenly say, we want takedowns and forget it? Yeah, they totally could. I don't think they will. I think it's mutually beneficial that they don't. But, you know, Nintendo's always been a little bit weird about streaming. And anyway, this brought it all to the forefront again. And I don't know how I stand on it. I mean, I stand in two ways. Number one, PewDiePie, don't be a racist dick. Don't do that.
Right, right.
So that's number one. All right. We all agree there, I think. But on the second side of it, I don't know what I want this precedent to set. Like,
I know what I want it to set.
Because what if I'm streaming in World of Warcraft and I go, that building they made looks like a penis. And then and then Blizzard gets wind of that and goes, that's it, we're taking down the whole thing. And they just, you know, decide to go after you. Like, they could. They won't, but they could. So, like, now you're in this weird position of the ball could drop, you know, you just never know.
Right. And see, there's a little bit of responsibility on YouTube that they've kind of distanced themselves between and went, look, we're not going to get in a fight between you and the developers. We're going to take a stance of we support content creators and we support developers. And you know what? You can't play that game. They're going to have to get in here and go, what's the real truth here? A DMCA takedown is not the right answer because it's really not about copyright. It's about you not liking what PewDiePie did and trying to change that. So it's, I don't know.
It's hard, man. Like,
it's hard.
It's complicated. But in the case of YouTube's case, they've always been like, keep us out of it. We'll just do whatever. Yeah, if the copyright holder says take it off, we'll take it off because they own the copyright, but you got to make a claim. Has served them well with music and film and all the other ways that YouTube can be used to put up copyrighted information or copyrighted content. When it comes to video games, there's this extra wrinkle, which is the industry needs these influencers, but they don't want to be associated with the ones who are dropping N-words and saying Nazi shit, you know?
Right, right. And so they've got to fix their system there. But YouTube feels like taking this stance is like, hey, we're protecting our best interest. And you know what? As much as they say, oh, we're going to take down all of PewDiePie's videos and we're going to delete them forever. And it's like, well, that's great and all. I'm sure he's got local copies. And you know what? PewDiePie has enough power that if he wanted to go, you know, switch to some other system or create his own system of distribution for his videos, I'm sure he could find a way. And if he wanted to find a way to make money other than through, you know, YouTube ads, I'm sure he could start a Patreon page and be just fine.
Yeah.
Just fine. He's going to be just fine. Sure. Who's losing more here? Is it going to be YouTube or PewDiePie? I don't know if anybody's losing a great amount, but this might have to be a place where you just go, okay, we've got to part ways. We're just, I want to be a little more rebellious and YouTube does not allow me to be rebellious, even if I'm a big jackass and saying racist thing.
Yeah. I don't think YouTube or Google loses anything because they have so much money. They don't care. They don't care.
Right. But they don't care. But they have really, over the years, one of the things that's made them very successful is, you know, they have literally handheld some of their top YouTube creators. And when they start turning their back and their loyalty to those top level YouTube creators. I don't know that's going to create a different.
It's so fishy though, because they're the platform holder, right? They control the machine. So there is no PewDiePie without the machine. There wasn't, there was never going to be one without it. So why is there one? Well, because he came into the machine and made a thing. Now, does that diminish the value he created? No, definitely not. But I don't know. Like whenever you do something for somebody else's platform, and I guess we're all doing it for the internet. The nice thing about the internet is it's open and everybody can contribute. But whoever owns your platform, they can just yank the rug out whenever they want to.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what makes it so dangerous, is because we assume this loyalty that we really hold loyalty high as individuals.
Sure.
As individuals, we consider that very important. Corporations,
No.
Loyalty is it's counterproductive to profit.
Oh, yeah.
In a short term. Long term, it can really stick you in the butt, though, because if you keep treating your content creators a certain way, like you just don't care, like you're just going to, I don't care, whatever, man, we're just trying to keep we're Switzerland. Eventually it's going to catch up with you. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. No, I agree.
In my opinion.
No, I agree. Something's going to happen. Other shoe drops at some point.
Yeah. Yep. They're not going to get out of this as scot-free as they think. Sure, YouTube is going to survive without PewDiePie. I mean, if that's what it comes down to, they'll survive, they'll thrive. However, I'm just saying, you know, there may be some other distribution out there just waiting, and they'll snap up PewDiePie in a second.
Yep. Grab Vimeo, everybody. Vimeo, the brand new PewDiePie Vimeo channel. Mm-hmm. Get over there and check it out, because it's happening.
But really, in the end, what do I know? I'm just thinking out loud.
No. Yeah, that's what you do. Sometimes you fart, but right now you're thinking out loud.
I shouldn't do it.
That's fine. Oh, that sound means we got to give you a little taste of some Nintendo news here at the end of the news segment. Nintendo's bringing arcade classics to Switch. This is not virtual what do they call that?
Emulation.
Yeah, but what's the name of the thing they've always done in the past? They've always had this thing on their consoles called virtual.
Oh yeah, their proper Nintendo's proper name for it.
Shit.
Virtual Boy.
That's it. Whatever that's called. Virtual Console, that's it.
That's it.
That's not what this is. They haven't launched that on the Switch yet, although some assume they might be. But they are bringing some more classic arcade games to the console in its new Arcade Archives program. They announced it during the Nintendo Direct presentation the other day. These are downloadable titles, Switch ports of arcade games from the 80s. That's different from Virtual Console, which often ports NES games and that sort of thing. These arcade games contain subtle differences that can't be found in their NES counterparts, says Nintendo. In fact, some of the arcade games in question have never been released outside Japan, like Versus Clue Clue Land.
Clue Clue Land.
I never played Clue Clue Land. here's an initial list of these arcade games, all right? So you're getting Mario Brothers. That's just the static screen, you and Luigi bonking heads and knocking over the crabs and stuff. Then you got Versus Super Mario Brothers, Versus Balloon Fight, one of my favorite games ever. I love
that.
Versus Ice Climber, Versus Pinball, Versus Clue Clue Land, and Versus Punch-Out.
Punch-Out.
So all of these are coming. They will feature multiplayer support. Not online, I don't think, but you will be able to take your two, what do you call them, your Switch deals, your Joy-Cons, your Joy-Con things, and you both could sit there and play together.
Scott has trouble with names.
Yeah, always. That's just the way I am. Anyway, they're coming soon. That seems like fun. I actually have a lot of excitement for that. Stay tuned for more. All right, we often end things with an email. Today is no different. Let's end things with an email. Cedar Park, Texas, and a guy named Steve wrote in. Says, hey Scott, listening to the Boop Show 147, and you and Brian were discussing that Scott and Steven swapping, the name Steve and Scott getting swapped all the time.
Right. Like two pigs in a blanket.
Yeah. He says, I get to answer to both. My name is Steven Scott Radke. So I get both names. I even use Scott Stevens when I want to anonymously join a website. Just thought that was kind of funny. Boop, says Steve from Cedar Park, Texas. Nice. And he's not the only one. I heard from a whole load of Steves since our last episode and Scotts who say that people swap their names all the time. So I'm not alone. I feel like I have friends with me.
Steve Scott.
Yep. Stott. Skeeve.
Stott.
Skeeve. Skeevy.
Ooh.
Ooh, it's all coming together. Thanks for the email. You can send your emails to boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. We encourage that, so send them hot and fast, everybody. It's going to do it for us. Brian Dunaway can be found over at comicscoasttocoast.com. If you're looking for another great show, he's on and filmsack.com. Oh. The Brian Dunaway, right? Anything else you want to mention here this week?
That's it. I just want to thank everybody for letting me have an opinion, though it's probably wrong.
That's
You're welcome.
Fine. You get to have it, no matter how wrong it ever is. You can have it. It's yours. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Frogpants.com/boop is where you can find this show. And like I said, boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. The Brian Dunaway on Twitter. I'm at Scott Johnson, and the show is at Boop Show. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for all of you.
I'm going to go play some games.
We'll see you next week.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.